This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 9, 2023. Easter Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Fear not you, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Easter, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is so much more to it that our Lord just overcoming death and rising again. Sort of like when we look at Christmas. What a great time of the year. How joyful it is. And it truly is. We never want to lose sight of the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ was born in the manger, and we celebrate the Nativity because he came here to be crucified. There is a somber reality toward the joy, the resurrection. We have to look at this at it the same way. It is very, very superficial to think of the resurrection just as Jesus rising from the dead, let us move on. It's interesting, both of those times of the year, Christmas and Easter, when many people think that that is sufficient to come to church on those days and not other. Wrong. It is insufficient. It's dangerous for our souls. We have to understand this, because there is a reality to the Nativity. There is a reality to the resurrection. And part of that reality is what we learn from those things, as opposed to just looking at them in a very general forest for the trees kind of way, not looking at the trees. These lessons that we learn from the resurrection, for instance. The resurrection places a moral obligation on us. No, it's just about Jesus raising from the dead. No, it points to a moral obligation to which we are called through the resurrection. You get it from the story that we hear from the gospel reading today. The women who go to minister to our Lord, they serve him. Even in his death, they serve him. They have heard him say of his resurrection. But like us, you hear about it, you know it cognitively and things like that. But until you're confronted with somebody who has risen from the dead, then that's a whole different story. We look at these women. They seek our Lord Jesus Christ. That is one, just one of the many moral lessons that we learn from this gospel passage and from the resurrection itself. The moral lesson that Christ Jesus reveals himself to and imparts his graces upon those who seek him, not everyone. Please kick this idea that Jesus is some kind of cosmic egalitarian right out of your heads. He is not. He shows his favor and he shows himself to those who seek him. Not everybody. We did sort of a compare and contrast there with the Roman soldiers who were hanging out at the tomb and the women who go to the tomb. They seek him. The soldiers were there to guard. The women came there to serve our Lord. They sought him. They didn't care that there were Romans. They watched just a couple days before what these men are capable of. I mean, it was no secret anyway, but I mean, they saw that our Lord scourged, crucified, spat upon, ridiculed. Their own religious leaders, they hated their Lord. The Romans, the occupiers, they killed our Lord at the behest of the Jews. This is a reality for them. And they're sorrowing, and they go there, even in the midst of their sorrow, to minister to our Lord, whom they thought body was still laying in a tomb. They didn't care about any other things. They went to serve our Lord. This seeking him is a reality for them. They sought him. We need to seek him the same way. Mary Magdalene. I mean, she's us in a nutshell, should be us in a nutshell. This woman from whom seven demons were cast, a woman of penance, her penance while our Lord was alive, washing his feet with her tears, wiping them with her hair. That is penitential. It was public. She didn't care who saw. Was she embarrassed? Was she not? Who knows? Who cares? She didn't, obviously. As embarrassed as she may have been, she did it anyway to serve our Lord. And now even in his death, she does the same thing. She looks aside any of the dangers that are in place or potential. She doesn't care what her own religious leaders or anybody else thinks. She, with the other women, go to minister to our Lord. So there's penance there. There's charity there toward our Lord. The prayer that must have been associated with their strengthening to do this. Okay, these three things are part and parcel of our Catholic life. Penance, prayer, and charity. Not suggestions. The way we live our life. And all of those three things, they cannot just be, I'm sorry. That's enough for me for penance. No, it's not enough. You have to go to confession. You have to confront your sins. You have to present them to Jesus Christ personally in the person of his priest. That's why he instituted the sacrament of confession. This whole me and God in my room while I'm reading the Bible or something like that, that's nonsense. There's no contrition there. There's no embarrassment there, which is part of contrition. Jesus established that because he wanted you to look someone in flesh in the face and talk about your sins. The priest sits in there in direct person of Christ. That's why he says, I absolve you from your sin. The priest doesn't absolve you. Jesus does through the priest. That's Christian penance. Prayer. Anybody who asks anything in my name, it will be given them. Not everybody who prays gets what they want. Pray in my name, and somebody will give. There are billions of people, literally, on the face of this planet who pray all the time. The whole egalitarian thing, I said, kick that out of your mind. Kick this whole, they pray to the same God we do. No, they don't. No, they don't. We pray to a God who is a Trinity. We pray to a God who sent his Son to die for our sins. These other people, they pray to the same God. Their God to whom they pray did not send a son. They deny that. They say we don't need a savior. They do not pray to the same God. We pray through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him. That is when you receive at his will. And then the charity that we live. The everyday things that we do for other people. Because, again, you should love your neighbor. But you should love your neighbor because they bear the image of Christ. Yeah, they could be a godless heathen. They could be the worst person walking the face of this planet. But as long as they have breath in their lungs, they still have a shred of that image. And we should do everything that we can, not for them necessarily, but for the image. That is Christian charity. That's the moral lesson to which we are obliged. There's a spiritual lesson. All this being said about coming to Jesus by seeking him, we can only come to Jesus when we have left the darkness of our vices. When we left the darkness of sin. This is why you never want to miss the little details that we get from the gospel presentation of the resurrection today. We're not presented this whole deal about when they came. At the end of the Sabbath, when it began to dawn towards the first day of the week. All of those things have tremendous import in the way we worship our God because the Holy Spirit has guided and directed us through this. But I mean, one part of it, we get the Sabbath, the first day of the week. Yeah, those are important. But, you know, that whole, it began towards dawn. That speaks as much to us. It speaks profoundly to us as to what is the detail there. It began to dawn. Notice it was night and then during the day they went. What is dawn? Okay, it's progressive. Those of you who go to work early, you leave, and there's a little bit of light on the, it's dark, a little bit of light on the horizon, then it gets gradually lighter. That's our faith. Nobody throws a light switch and it's dark and then light. That's not how it works. It's progressive. We learn this by little things like that. That Jesus Christ only comes to us, we can only seek him once we leave the darkness. Slow and arduous process, but nonetheless, that is the only way you're going to be able to seek him. And when you seek him, you will find him, and he will pour his graces out upon you for that. These are the lessons that we learn from the resurrection. This whole idea of a moral obligation to Christ, the resurrected Lord. I just sit back and talk about Easter and all the Alleluia banners that we see. That's not, again, that is really just a decoration for the substance and reality of the way we're supposed to live our lives. Every day, not on Easter, every single day. Every time we come to Mass, there's a little bit of Christmas, there's a little bit of the Passion, there's a little bit of Easter. Every single Mass. Because we're supposed to live every single day of our Catholic life with all these things in our mind. Well, that's a lot of stuff. Yes, it is. That's a good thing. There's a tension there between living in this world, being in the world, but not of it. You know, when we renew our baptismal vows, as we will after the homily, you know, there's a part in that. I love it. The world, which is the enemy of God. We live in a place where we don't belong now. That we're drudging our way through this Exodus experience toward everlasting life. Should we maintain a life of faith and obedience? Should we maintain the moral obligations that are put upon us? But it is a difficult task to do because there's a tension between being in this world and not being of this world. You know, we see that in this gospel presentation too. They went out quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. What was it? Fear or joy? Yes, both. This whole joy of the resurrection thing. You really think about it for a second. I said before, resurrection, the concept and everything, we could talk about it. I believe it. If you experience a resurrection, it would scare the heck out of you. Think of a loved one that you've lost. Friend, think of that. I'll use myself as an example. If I got home this afternoon and opened my door and I walked in and my mom was standing there, I would be, Mom! And I'd be like, oh. I'd be scared to death if my mom was standing there. She's been dead for 3 years. I'd be scared to death if I was really confronted with a resurrection. I know all the words and I know all the propositions, but if I saw my mom standing there, I'd be scared to death. It would make me happy after that initial fear. In fact, this is what these women are experiencing. Here they are sorrowing for our Lord. They lost someone dear to them, the most dear person that they've ever lost. They've lost and they're sorrowing. They are afraid indeed of what the soldiers may do to them when they get there, what the religious leaders may do to them because they saw what they did to Jesus. And you're going there to pay homage to him after he died. So they got sorrow, they got fear going on. And what do they get when they get there? Oh, I feel so much better now that I'm at the tomb. There's an earthquake. If you've ever been in one, they're a scary thing. Okay, take my word for it. They are very scary. There's an earthquake, and then all of a sudden, there's an angel. His appearance was like lightning. His garments are, you know, think the details, the words. His appearance like lightning. Oh, wow, an angel. How awesome is this? Ask the soldiers about that. They saw the same exact thing. And what happened to them? They're on their faces if they were dead. On their faces if they were dead, the women are just more fearful than they were before. And what does the angel say? Fear you not. Fear you not. These guys can stay there with their faces in the dirt. They should continue to fear because this ain't nothing compared to what they're going to get unless they repent and come to this one whom they're guarding right now. This is another thing. God is not an egalitarian. He treats everybody the same way. Oh, no, you soldiers, you can lay there and eat dirt. You fear not because I know you see Jesus who was crucified. The angels, our Lord, they know who seeks him. This is why, again, I emphasize this more. If you're not seeking him, you're not going to find him. going to Mass on even every Sunday for an hour, and then that's just it, you ain't going to find him. It's not a matter of you might not. You won't. You will not find him unless you deepen your faith the way these women did. They deepened their faith. But even after that, you know, after the angel, don't fear. Okay, great. Now I just have joy that our Lord is resurrected. No, it says that they went away from this with fear and great joy. Notice fear and great joy. The joy always overcomes the fear, or should. If you really believe what we're talking about, what you know overcomes the fear of presenting our Lord, for instance. Family members that are falling away, their religion to the faith, friends and everything. Oh, I don't say anything about the faith because, you know, they'll be offended. There'll be an argument. Think that we fear things like that. We're going to. That's not a problem. Fear it. The joy's got to overcome it with what you know and the danger to their souls that you realize that they are in because of their state in life, because of where they are in the spectrum of grace. The joy should overcome our fear. What we know should overcome any angst that we have of presenting our Lord Jesus Christ. St. John Chrysostom says, "To be afraid is not for you, but for those who crucified him." Well, we don't have to worry about that because that happened back in the day. Every time we commit a serious sin, every single time, we crucify our Lord. We lay the lash to his back. We spit in his face. And so people that do that should fear. Most of them are so far gone, they don't even fear that. But that's what we're here for. Try to present them the truth. This is reality. These lessons that we learn from the resurrection, we learn because it makes our faith real and not Easter card and not blow up bunnies in the yard. That's not Easter. We learn the reality of the resurrection. And we learn the reality of the resurrection, we have to exercise that reality in our lives, or it's not real for you. It is not seeking him, you will not find him. That Christ-centered penance, prayer, and charity is not, well, I did that once, it's all the time. It's progressive. And it's got to be centered on Jesus Christ, or it is insufficient. It is insufficient, grossly deficient. I hear from different folks that I come in contact with here and there, you know, I go to Mass every now and then. I've heard people, the exact word, that's good enough. No, it isn't. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.